Well, Ephesians chapter number 4. And if you'll stand tonight, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God found in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, and verse number 12. Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says these words. He says, God gave you some apostles in verse 11, and some prophets. Now we know that apostles, the gifts of the day, of the apostolic gifts are gone. Peter could raise the dead. A man can't raise the dead tonight. And certainly these apostles built upon the chief cornerstone, laid a foundation. God has built His church on that foundation. That chief cornerstone is the Lord Jesus Christ. It fits everything together tonight. And then also he said, not only did he give some apostles, but he gave some prophets. And then he gave some evangelists. And he gave some pastors and teachers for a reason. He just didn't call people to get them out of hell. When he saved people, he gave everybody a job to do. And that's for this reason, for the perfecting of the saints. You may be seated tonight. Now, I think everybody will have to agree this. I don't believe nobody's where they really ought to be. But there's a whole bunch of us ain't where we used to be. And you know something? If a good measure for a church, if I was really visiting a community and I was looking for a church, I'd probably go the one first that's most talked about. Amen. And then I want to say it would have to have the right kind of Bible in the pulpit. Amen. And then he'd have to be a man that was pastoring that outfit. Somebody say amen right there. And I would want the Spirit of God moving where I was going to church. I'd want the altars open so my babies could come pray, so I could come pray. And that would concern me more than anything. And tonight we've got to realize that God wants to take us to another level. And certainly I hope by coming to this church that you find yourself, that you have moved from where that the Lord found you into a new area. Now, I don't care how long you've been saved, nobody has arrived. I've never met anybody that understands everything about this book. You know, it used to really bother me when somebody could ask me a question about this book and I couldn't answer it. But you know, there's a lot of questions in there unanswered for me. And so this is what I purpose to do. I'm going to preach and teach about the things I know real loud. Amen. And the things I don't know about, I'm going to leave them alone and let the Lord sort all that out. Amen. I know how to get you to heaven tonight. And that's by the Lord Jesus. I know how God says to grow a church. But there are some deep truths in this book that I shake my head about tonight. But certainly God wants to perfect us or bring us to another level. There was a young lady asked me one night. We have a bottle under the pulpit there. And she said, why is there a bottle under the pulpit? I said, because some people need it. Amen. And certainly it's a good illustration sometimes. Matter of fact, we spend more time whining instead of rejoicing. And I wonder if we had tomorrow what we thanked Him for today, what we'd wake up with in the morning. And so, you know, it's not near as bad as everybody lets it on to be. God's a good God, and God has been good to us, and He says He's gave us here some roles in the church for the perfecting of the saint. For the work, look here, work, somebody say work tonight. For the ministry. The ministry's not for lazy people. Amen. And certainly He says, watch here now, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Every time we get behind this stand, preachers, we ought to be pointed one direction, that's toward Him. And the higher we can lift Him, the better off we all are going to be. And He's our rule of measure. He's our goal. If you try to measure yourself against me, you'll measure up pretty good a lot of times. But He is the rule of measure. And we're to uplift Him, the work of the ministry for the edifying of the saints, or the building up of the body. God's very concerned about His body. And certainly we are His body. We are in the body of Christ. We that are born again by the grace of God, we are Christ's body. Look what He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, to the measure, the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. It amazes me, and I'll get off my soapbox in a minute, but it amazes me what people tolerate in a church that's not even in the Bible. And therefore, that's why we've talked two Sunday nights ago about doctrine. The reason we preach doctrine is simply, you can always remember this, it'll doctor on you. Doctrine is what the Lord Jesus taught us to teach. It is His teachings. And so we are Baptists by doctrine. What's that mean? We have a Baptist sign up outside and it tells people what we believe. Or it should tell people what we believe. Amen. And so certainly we went through that. And then He says, you ought not be carried about by every wind, by the sleight of men. And look, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, the Bible says that beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. Beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. You know what that means? They've killed some sheep along the way. And so it is the pastor's job to keep his eyes on that flock to keep the wolves out. Amen. And it's your job to help the pastor. We're not judge and jury, but we're to practice what this Bible says do. And certainly, then He says, they lie in wait to see, but speaking the truth in love, and here's another fault that we had, not only in doctrine, but we talked last week about development. He says, I want you to grow up into something. And I tell you who I want you to grow up into. I want you to grow up into Christ. Now, that's a pretty good goal for everybody in the house tonight. He said, I want you to grow up into Him in all things. Oh, I wish I could get there. I'm striving. Does anybody have a temper? Say amen. Anybody ever tend to lie? Say amen. Boy, the whole house is going to fall on us tonight. Grow up into Him in all things. Now listen, you may have your lying handled. I've got a pretty good handle on it, but I'm not going to crow too loud. I'll tell one by in the morning. Renee asked me to take the garbage out. I said, oh yeah, hon, I did. Go on to sleep now. I did. But you say, I got a handle on all that. Well, let me tell you, I'll assure you this. There's something you ain't got a handle on. Therefore, we find out that He wants us to strive to grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, here it is. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Now I broke that one verse down tonight, and we've talked about doctrine, we've talked about development, but tonight I want to look at this thought on design. What is God's design? And it has to do with his body. Now, watch this. Let's break this verse down a minute in an outline, and then I'm going to give you some things on my heart tonight. First of all, we find information. I want you to pull out a pencil tonight or a pen. I want you to be ready to take down a website in just a little bit. I want you to take a test, and it's going to help you. I think you'll enjoy it. You that don't think all the computers are the devil, amen? Amen. Go on, say amen right there. I mean, sugar's all right as long as you use it right. Amen. Now watch the outline. Here's information. Watch this. From whom the whole body, there's diversity. The whole body, there's information. Now, I want to say something in 1 Corinthians 12, in verse number 12, whom the whole body, there is diversity. I sure am glad that everybody here is not like me. And I sure am glad everybody here ain't like some of you. Now, there's a few members I could pick out. It'd be wonderful to have 400 of. But they some like me, I wouldn't want to have 400 of. Somebody say amen right there tonight. Now, there's diversity. And let me tell you something. Where the Independent Baptist Church has missed it, we've gotten so hard on standards. And I believe in standards. I believe we ought to dress right at the house of God. I think God's property is special. I think His house is separated. I think the church should be separated from the world. But let me tell you something. It's not one picture that you got to look like to be a Christian. It really helped me one day when I realized that Jesus died for everybody. And therefore, God don't want 400 to look alike. He wants diversity, but He wants everybody to be a Christian. In people's opinion, funny. They some men, because I ain't got a tie on Wednesday night, wouldn't even let me preach at their church. Can anybody show me in the Bible where I'm to wear a tie tonight? Get number two. Let me challenge you there. A lot of people think you can't be a Baptist church if you don't vote. Can you show me voting in the Bible tonight? Would somebody show me that? Now, I done been to college and back and done back over there again. I can't find that in there. Let me tell you something. I can't find a church letter in the Bible. There's a lot of things Baptists do I can't find in my Bible. Amen. A lot of them get mad and they won't take their stained windows home. I don't find that in the Bible. Amen. So we got to be careful to realize God wants us to be who He called us to be. I can't be a Brother Tim. I can't be a Brother Chris. I want to tell you right now, I wish I could sing like some of these boys can sing. I mean, I wish I could strike out like Brother Matthew tonight and just go to singing. But it don't work for me, so I'm going to try to stay with preaching. I know y'all glad of that. But you know, there's diversity. They some folks that ain't got no hair. And I know the Bible teaches it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Go and say amen right there. That's in my Bible. That's in there. And the Bible says a woman's hair is for her glory. I don't think a woman ought to wear a flat top. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. I don't want nobody confused about what side I'm on. Amen. Go and shake your head right there now. But let me tell you something. We can have diversity. Amen. Do you see we're only white folks in the body? Go now, shake that mule head tonight. Amen. Well, what about you find in there where anybody that's got a goatee can't be in there? I can tell you some preachers, it's in their Bible. Y'all don't like that, so I'll move on. Okay, let's think about if a preacher weighs 200 pounds, he's all right, but if he's 350, he ain't all right. Boy, I'm a-gaining on that doctrine. Diversity. There's different people everywhere that's in the family of Christ. I'm not preaching against not having standards. I'm just simply trying to open our eyes tonight what God's involved in, and that's the body of Christ. Look what he says now, that whole body. Paul's vision of the body of Christ is of unity, which consists in diversity. Amen. We'll never agree on everything. I'll have preachers in here that say stuff that I don't agree with. I've heard them. I mean, I said, how could you say something so stupid? You can, it's okay. I said some crazy stuff. I mean, I get home and say, why did I say that? But let me tell you something. Preaching is like a buffet. I go through a buffet, my wife will get sauerkraut off of it. You know what? I turn my nose up at it. I mean, you have them weenies and kraut. Somebody shout amen right there tonight. I want the catfish and the fried chicken and the good stuff. Just all meat. Some fried shrimp on the end of that thing. Y'all help me now tonight. I ain't had no supper. I'm getting hungry. And so you got to learn, before church ever grows, you got to realize one message ought to not run you off. I know a family was here about a year and a half, and you know, they just hung around. One message, one night I preached, they hit the road. Well, what about the other 40 I did pretty good with? I mean, just pretty good with. So I struck out one night, got a little crazy. I mean, are we the judge and jury? Let's think about really what we're thinking about tonight. The body of Christ. Who are we? We're the blood-washed, born-again children of the Lord Jesus. And let me tell you something. Paul's vision of the body of Christ, it was of unity, which consists in diversity. Now, so many people today, they think themselves as individuals rather than as a part of the body of Christ. Christianity is not every man for himself. It's every man together for Christ. Can I say that again tonight? As a part of the body of Christ, most people think themselves individuals rather than being a part of the body. It's not every man for himself. It's every man together for Christ. I don't agree with what a lot of folks do. But you know, probably a bunch of them saved, and a bunch of them may not be, but I'm not the judge. All I can do is what's going on here. This is what I'm responsible for on this 15-8. This is what I'm going to stand and give an account for God. You're not going to give an account for this church. I am. Let me show you that tonight. I'm in a new Bible, and so it may take me just a minute, but I think I can find it. Hebrews chapter number 13. Let's look in verse number 17. You say, well, the preacher, listen at the preacher. Well, listen, sometimes put on the preacher's shoes and think about where he's got to stand. Look in verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. Well, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as if they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now tonight, let me tell you something. God has different kind of preachers. Loud preachers, quiet preachers. Red cars, black cars. Just because a man ain't up hollering, hacking, and spitting don't mean he ain't preaching. There's a lot of diversity in the body of Christ. And so Paul is teaching about this information, the whole body. Now, let's go back to that text verse. I want to break it down. I got on a rabbit or two. I'm going to buckle down here and try to get through this thing tonight. In Ephesians 4 and 16, watch this. From whom the whole body, there's information. Whole body, it's diversity. Then he says, fitly joined together. I want you to look. There is insistence. Insistence. It's fitly joined together and it's compacted. That word compacted means knit together. In other words, he says there's unity. It ought to be unity in the body of Christ. At this church, there ought to be unity. There ought not be any cliques or clacks. It ought to be one body with one head, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One body together. Knit together. Have any of you ever watched anybody knit things? That means how tight it ought to be. Let me tell you something. We ought to be so close. If Brother Gerald has a bellyache, I can take a Rolaid and fix him and me. That's how tight we ought to be in the house of God. Amen. And so if one's a hurting, we ought to pitch in to help that one that's hurt. And be careful, don't point your finger at somebody's hurting, because it may be down your house before long. And don't say, not my children. You better help people pray for their children, because you may need some help for your children for this thing's over and we've gone to heaven. Now, there's insistence. Fitly joined together. Now, I want you to listen to this quote about not being together. What? At peace with God and at war with His children? It cannot be. Listen, unity, not uniformity. Unity, not uniformity. Everybody here don't like a white Suburban. I love it. Some of y'all couldn't park it. I'd love to watch y'all park that thing in these hospital parking decks. I want to say this again tonight. Not uniformity, but unity. Diverse, but together. And we watch this now. 1 John 3:11. 1 John 3:11. Fitly joined together and compacted. 1 John 3. Verse number 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know we pass from death and lies. Look here, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now I want to say something right there. You ain't got to go over their house and eat hamburgers with them. I mean, they some rednecks I like hanging out better than with others, Brother Lee. Isn't that right? Three of you. Ain't that right? Then okay, if you don't want to say amen, then invite everybody to your house Friday night. Let's have T-bones. I mean, we're all geared different. Our nature is different. But let me tell you, Jesus said we're to love one another. As a matter of fact, he says, we know that if in verse 11, God so loved us that we ought also to love one another. Now watch verse 12. If you hate your brother, I'd be checking in and see if I was saved or not. Watch what it says now. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and His love perfected. Hereby we know that we dwell in Him, He in us, because He hath given us the Spirit. And then he says, verse number 16, we've known and believed the love that God hath to us, God's love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Now, verse 18, he says there is no fear in love. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Verse 20 is where I want to get to. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Insistence. God insists that we're that tight. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. We ought to stand up as a Christian for one another. Look how the world has sawed Tebow off on a limb. Is there not any Christian commentators left in this world? Wouldn't it be so refreshing if we seen one of these liberal newsrooms all of a sudden, old boy in the microphone, say, yeah, praise God, I got born again too. Could you imagine, man, they wouldn't have their job in the morning. Let me tell you something. We ought to stand up for one another. Let me ask you something. Why is it that a liberal Or why is it that somebody that's not living right has got the right to say something about what we do, but we ain't got the right to say nothing about what they do? Why is this world so confused? Amen. If somebody says, I'm a straight guy, and I am, praise God, I can't sue them for that. But if you call them a homosexual, then it's a hate crime. Now watch this. Well, if you're living together and not married, that's shacking up. Why then who says that being married? Why are you going to get up and say, well, that's not right? Why can't we that's trying to live right stand for what we believe that's right? And when we're right, why does it have to be wrong? I'm not confused. And this is where people get on a preacher. Well, that preacher didn't write this Bible. God's called them to preach it. And a man can preach right and love his people. We're to be close together. We'll not be talking about each other down at the meat counter at Piggly Wiggly. Who left us judge and jury? I guess we think we're the new judge in Mississippi or the old judge. Let me get on that just a minute. Buddy, I guarantee you, if they had raped his wife and killed his young'uns, I doubt if they'd have got pardoned. Now, you can do with that whatever you want to do. But I can tell you this, God means justice to stick. You pay for your sins. Some of y'all didn't like that. You may be going to the wrong church if you don't like that statement. Bunch of liberal politicians out for what they can get out of it. Turn a bunch of child molesters loose on your babies. Boy, that's the kind of society. We ought to stand up for what's right and stick with each other. There's a lady down at the store in Bowden. She's telling me the other day, she said, somebody was talking about you the other day. I said, please don't tell me that again. She said, but you know what I've done? I said, for one time, I want to know what you said. She said, I stood up for you. I said, praise God. And I'm not playing a violin, singing a sad song. No, I'm saying, We as a child of God ought to stand for one another. And I don't care if you're in the First Baptist Church or the Second Baptist Church or you're down yonder in the Holiness Congregational Church. If you're living right and doing right, washed in the blood of Jesus, we in the body of Christ. Let me tell you why there's denominations. Because there are disagreements in doctrine. You always remember that. That's the only reason there's denominations. Is because there's disagreements with doctrine. Now, if you gave me this Bible tonight and you said, Brother Ken, you're a fresh Christian, you read your Bible, you look at everything that's here today in denominations, and you tell me what you'll be. If I didn't have any influence, I think I could take what the standard doctrines of the Baptist Church teach, that's what I would be before I was ever a Baptist. I believe we're living as close to that Bible by Baptist doctrine and faith than anything that's out there tonight. But now let me tell you folks something. Folks that is washed in the blood of Jesus are going to heaven just like I'm going to heaven. That water ain't putting nobody. Let me tell you where we draw the line. The blood of Jesus. And I tell you this, I draw a hard line about this book. There's not another copy of the Word of God but the King James Bible. We can't live this one yet. But you listen to me. If you're going to heaven, you're going because of the blood of Jesus. Not because you're a good person. Not because you're a Baptist, not because you've been baptized. You're going there by grace through faith into the conversation. Now, I'm to teach doctrine and keep this place a Baptist church. Long as I'm the pastor, we're going to practice Baptist doctrine because that's what I believe. And if I didn't believe that, I need to change churches. Amen. I don't need to change the church to non-denominational. I need to get out of the Baptist church. I could tell some of y'all didn't want preaching. I seen you tonight. Just be careful to not be so judgmental. A lot of times, you know, we want to be judge and jury. I hear this a lot. First impressions. My wife's daddy ain't a better man around. He's big on first impressions. He seen me first. Did he like me? Didn't like me, did he? I can understand that, but I turned out to be a pretty good guy.
Yes, sir.
On Sunday. You know, matter of fact, these two boys here, it's hard to like boys when they pull up visit to get your girls, Brother Huey. I done figured that out. Some of y'all going to learn that. Them little young'uns went down them stairs, you're going to know what your preacher's saying in about 10 years. Some thug show up, and he says, "What's up, Pop?" You say, "Boy, I'm going to beat the brakes off you before you leave." I guarantee you one thing, neighbor. He won't have on skinny jeans in this boy's parking lot. Praise God. I say, "Boy, I'm going to get you the right cap. Take my girl out." Diversity. Insistence. Now, watch this. But this is a great quote. Believers, now hear me out. Now don't shut me off now till I'm done with it. Believers are never told to become one. We already are one. And are expected to act like it. My brother, he's in heaven tonight. He slept on the outside. I slept on the wall there at the crack, you know. Daddy'd come in there and whoop us. He'd throw the covers back. And I was a baby. I'd get out down in that crack. Son, he'd tear my big brother up with that belt, you know. And by the time Daddy'd get laid down, I'd say, "He didn't get me." And then my brother, man, he's 6 years older. He would beat the far out of me. But you know, when Mama called us to the breakfast table in the morning, it's done. We jumped up, loved each other. You know, you can have conflicts in the church and get them sorted out and love one another. I've never seen this in years of pastoring. I've never seen it. I've never seen nothing that this altar couldn't fix. Our problem is we can't get our head down small enough to get any. You see, divisions in the church always breed atheism in the world. Satan always hates Christian fellowship. It's his policy to keep Christians apart. Anything which can divide saints from one another, he delights in. Since union is strength, he does his best to promote separation. Don't stand alone. You'll get hurt by yourself. So tonight, at peace with God, and at war with his children? Information. Insistence. The Bible teaches that it is joined together. And look what he says, compacted. Here's the third point. Look at the instruments. By that which every joint supplieth. You're an instrument. Now, we all have gifts. He's talking about the body that every joint supplieth. In other words, you're bringing something to the body. You're doing a part that only other parts cannot do. You know, Paul, for sake of time, he teaches that a lot of times you think of the lesser parts to be less likely. I want everybody here tonight, I want you to, even you that won't dare raise your hand in church. I mean, you won't even think about it. I want you to think about it right now. And I'm not going to look at you now. I'm not going to watch you. But I want you to stick your little arm straight out. Now, we don't think of much of that elbow. Don't bend your elbow and let me see you get out there and get a bite. Go now. I'm a watch. I know some of you, your tongue's long enough you can get there. Amen. Some of y'all can accomplish that, but I'm a peeping, seeing who it is. That elbow, we don't think much about, but we sure do need it, don't we? A lot of you, that's the way the devil does a lot of you. If you're not up preaching, teaching, or singing, or you're not leading in the service, you think you're not essential. Let me tell you, you're very important in the body of Christ. You're very important. It is amazing at the support that I've got here in individuals. And when they're not here, it affects me. I mean, it affects, not only as the pastor, Brother Kevin, not only am I wondering where they are, but I need it as my companionship and friendship. I need that support. And so the lesser parts are just as much needed as the larger part. So, there's the instruments. Now look in Romans 12 and verse number 3. Romans 12, verse number 3. He says, I say through the grace of God given to me to every man that's among you, not to think himself more high than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God's depth to every man the measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ. Every one members one of another. Having then, look here, gifts different according to the grace that is given to us. Every person that's saved has a main gift. Has a main, what we call a motivational gift. It has what's in you that drives you. And those of you that I've pastored for years, I can tell you just like that what it lines up to in this Bible. I've been around you now. My wife, she has a gift of mercy. What's that mean? I'll show you. I have a gift of prophecy. I have no problem in telling the truth loud. That's my nature. She's one of mercy. I'm walking to the hospital. Brother Tim's laying flat on his back. I walk in and say, well, what'd you do to deserve that? Miss Renee walks in and says, can I get you some water? Can I wash your little face off while I'm here? Gifts different. And this is where people in the church get all out of sorts. This is where marriages get out of sorts. You know, when you put two boy dogs in the pen, they's trouble. And some ladies is geared with that motivational gift like their husband, and they're always bouncing off each other. They're like one of them little bobblehead dolls in them. But God has given us something. Now, I want you to write this down real quickly tonight because I'm running out of time. But I do. I you ought to take a look at this, and you ain't got to dig in and look about who all's wrote it. I just want you to take this test. Don't fill me full of hope. I don't know why Brother Ken's are doing it. I just want you to do it. Write this down. M-I-N. That's men for you, real educated folks. M-I-N. Tools, TOOLS.com. When that comes up, click on spiritual gift test. Take those 30 questions. So simple. Just you do it and go right on. You got to be honest. Now, at the end, it will tell you your mainline motivational gift. I want to run through these right quick tonight. I have a hard copy. It's really fun to pass it out a lot of times. And I can tell you this. A lot of times in a marriage, when two people are geared together, that's going to be some big issues. In the church or in your workplace, you'll notice this. And I can tell you right now, y'all look up here at your preacher now, because this right here is supposed to get real good and it's real deep. Are you ready? Most of the people that you have a problem with, they're a mirror of you. Some of y'all don't believe me because you think you're perfect, don't you? You watch it now. Some of the people that really get on your nerves, they just like you. Somebody shout amen tonight. Now, I want to say this. These gifts, these instruments, what does God give a gift for the church for? What are they? Well, there is no way I can get there tonight. So let's do this. Let's park. And I want you to take that spiritual gift test. And I want you, after you do it, some of you do it, I want you to say, preacher, these was my top three. They will be exhortation, means to encourage people. Well, we've got some real discouraging members. I'm not going to tell y'all when I called this individual, but I dreaded calling. I'm just being honest with you. I dreaded calling because I knowed Miss Flo. I mean, my arm was going to get tired before I got off this thing. I mean, I know. Now, some of y'all are looking, I can't believe he said that. You just ought to wear these corduroys a few days. Wouldn't it be so, so refreshing? I declare the chandelier would fall if I was to ask this person, how are you doing? Say, praise God, preacher, it's wonderful. Oh, gosh. I'd say, honey, get me a bed at Tanner. I'm a crossing. I mean, my goodness. Unbelievable. Some people have such a great gift of exhortation, encouraging people. I mean, you ever notice a preacher when you say, yeah, man, it's like a little fast dog, treeing. Y'all got way too city for this preacher. You quit eating rabbit and squirrel, and you don't even know what a fast dog is. You get a little fast dog on a tree and you say, get him, boy! Get him! Get him, boy! Man, he's sitting there, he's barking. If it ain't nothing there, he's still barking. Some of y'all do this. Oh, you know CII comes on at 9. Tape it. Y'all kill me watching that stuff. My God. I'd rather be at a hog calling. Exhortation. Giving. Some of you have a main motivational gift of giving. It doesn't bother you to give at all. You praise God. Give it away. Some of you say, I ain't giving that. Why, some of you wouldn't buy your wife a new dress or a new pocketbook. If you was making $1 million a year, you tightwad. Go on, say amen, ladies. I'll take up for you tonight. Matter of fact, you can go on and look at him real mean you want to. I don't care. You know, missionaries come in. Ah, they don't need nothing. Well, won't you try it a while? Giving, exhortation, teaching, leadership. Some of you will never be in leadership because you're not designed to be. Nothing wrong with that. God's made you that way. I'll never forget my preacher. Miss Julie's daddy was one of my first preachers. He had him some cowboy boots. Miss Julie, you remember when he wear them? And I mean, you could kill them cockroaches up in the corners with the toes of them, you know. Brother Randall's nearly got on a pair tonight. They killed me, though. I went and got me a pair. You know, my preacher had them. Well, my goodness, I'd done worn about an hour. I was done down in my back. I was done about a cripple. What was you doing? I was trying to be like him. But I couldn't be like him. You know why? Because God didn't make me to be him. And you listen to me tonight. The best you'll ever be is who God made you to be. And just because me and Dennis run around the building, shout and cry and holler, that don't mean that y'all have to. We wish some of you would. But I know some of you is not going to because you're not geared that way. But this is my issue. When you holler and shout at home, I don't know why you won't do it at church. That's my issue. Now, if you don't ever shout or holler at home, I ain't got no issue with you being quiet at church. And if you go to the ball game, don't never say a word when your team makes a touchdown. I ain't got no issues with you. None, 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 none. But if you go to the ball game and you put them coins in a jug and you sitting there rattling that jug and you say, man, I'm non-emotional. You're a moron. You come to God's house and say, man, loosen up a little bit. My goodness, I mean, throw your hand up every now and then. Your gifts, be who God's made you to be. And you know, this kills me about young preachers. They think because I run around and shout and cry and get loud, they got to. But God ain't never geared them that way, and they can't do that. You ain't got to be like nobody. Be yourself. That's the best you'll ever be. Be yourself. What is your gifts? The gift of helps. To render support and assistance. Brother Dennis has said he needs some help. I took my test. I'm going to be honest with you. That's on the bottom of the chart. I love to tell people what to do. That's my wife, honey. 31 years. Praise God, huh? I'm glad I got an amen out of Miss Preacher tonight. I mean, that's the truth, man. When I was at that plant, I'd walk in and say, y'all fix that. I'm going to be back in 30 minutes. I want it fixed. They said, but it's a three-week job, preacher. Okay, so you didn't like that. Let me give you this. You need to realize what your gifts are and use them for the body of Christ. Everybody can't be like Brother Tim, lead and sing. I was going to say, everybody can't be sweet like Miss Flo, but you could try. Say amen, Brother Kevin, you could try. Miss Sharon sure would appreciate it. What's your mainline gifts? Hospitality. Mercy. Service, teaching, wisdom, missionary, knowledge. Then I want to say this. The Bible speaks of healings a lot. Can we say this to be used as a means through which God makes people whole, either emotionally, mentally, or spiritually? You'd be surprised what you could do for somebody. Faith. Listen to this right here. I love this on faith. And I'll go through them next week. I'm fixing to close. I'm done. Matter of fact, I've listed 17 gifts. Listen to this on faith. I thought it was good. To be firmly persuaded of God's power and promises, to accomplish His will and purpose, and to display such confidence in Him and His Word that circumstances and obstacles do not shake or change you. Exhortation, to come alongside someone with encouragements, comfort, consolation, and counsel to help them be all that God wants them to be. Man, when these young people are singing, you know what you ought to be doing? You ought to be coming around to church and say, I appreciate that. Man, I enjoyed that. Do you realize what we've got in this church, how we ought to be encouraging one another? These young ones singing, older people singing. I mean, we ought to encourage one another. Go there, take that little simple test, and then you get a chance, write down your top three. And then you'll realize why you do some things that you do. Amen? Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Stand up tonight. Glad you...